Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life here on Premier Christian Radio. It's Sunday evening. I'm Jeff Lucas, and this last week they've been the celebrated conquering megastars. Of course, I'm talking about England's Lionesses triumphing in the Euros after that nail-biting penalty shootout, and now celebrated in a Downing Street reception and applauded in an open-top bus ride through London. We're all delighted for the hard work of the Lionesses. And one of them, of course, is Lucy Bronze. It was revealed just immediately after the game that she'd played through the entire championship with a fractured tibia. Back in 2021, Lucy was diagnosed with autism and ADHD. She revealed this in 2025. She is also multilingual, speaking English, Portuguese, Spanish, and French. Winning England manager Serena Wiegmann, who rarely speaks about individuals, describes her as one of a kind. Serena said she has a crazy mentality. It's unbelievable. In a word, Lucy Bronze is resilient. That was a word that was used repeatedly during and after the wonderful match. Resilience. The word comes from the Latin verb resilire, meaning to rebound or recoil. In the Oxford English Dictionary of 1600, it's described as recoiling or rebounding, bouncing back. In the Oxford Dictionary of 1800, resilience is described as resuming an original position after being compressed, or a season of compression or bending. Elasticity. Well, that's exactly what the Lionesses did, and that's exactly what we're called to be as followers of Jesus. Faithful, long-suffering, and if I can slightly misuse a sporting analogy, playing, or in our case, praying through the pain. You see, following Jesus is not about happiness, and it's not about the absence of pain. The New Testament, it could be said, are pages blood-soaked but filled with joy. We turn to Acts chapter 4 and we see Peter and John arrested, spending overnight in jail, the pain, the uncertainty. But they had a resilient prayer. Acts 4:29, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." And the Apostle Paul described his own resilience in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "We're hard pressed on every side," he said, "but we're not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Resilience is one of the key qualities that Jesus looks for in his church and his people. He's looking for faithfulness, loyalty, yes, resilience. In the book of Revelation, the church at Pergamum is commended for staying true to his name. And then again in Pergamum, Antipas was considered to be Christ's faithful witness. The believers in Thyatira persevered, had an attitude of faithfulness. And we are told that they heard Jesus say to them, "Hold on to what you have until I come. Do my will to the end." Of course, the Jesus who calls us to resilience and faithfulness is faithful to us. Again in Revelation, he's described as the one who is faithful and true. So tonight, let's talk about resilient faith, which will require focus, decisiveness, and a sense of rhythm. It happened decades ago when Kay, my wife, and I were courting. I know, using the word courting sounds like we met at one of Henry VIII's chicken banquets. So let's just perhaps settle for dating. We were very keen young Christian things back then. I wrote love letters which were more like epistles, loaded with syrup and spirituality. "Dear Kay, I love you so much, hallelujah, praise the Lord, but not as much as I love Jesus, glory to God," all that kind of thing. Our sincere enthusiasm for Jesus was translated to the stickers that adorned my car, which was a thoroughly Christian vehicle. A 1956 Austin A35, I purchased it for £50, and the seller saw me coming. A rust bucket with a large hole in the floor, rainy weather meant we had to literally bail it out, and with the driver's window held closed by a piece of rope, the car certainly never gave the impression that we were into health and wealth prosperity teaching. But we determined that our motor would be a jalopy for Jesus. We stuck a huge fluorescent yellow God Loves You sticker on the boot. For a while, we sported another decal that advised fellow motorists that in the event of the rapture, this car would be driverless. But even then, we thought that was rather silly. But we did have enough fish stickers to make our humble chariot look like a mobile aquarium. It happened during a relaxing Sunday afternoon drive. The police car appeared behind us from nowhere, lights flashing and siren blaring. We were somewhat mystified. We hadn't been speeding, mainly because the Austin would go from 0 to 50 miles an hour in about 25 minutes. Perhaps the officer had been impacted by our witness wagon and wanted to ask how he might become a Christian. We were wrong. As he approached the driver's side window and waited patiently while I untied the rope, his face was stern. "Young man, I pulled you over because you were not driving with due care and attention," he snapped, and then came the follow-up sentence that was so very excruciating. "The reason for the erratic driving that I've just witnessed is this," he said. "You and your girlfriend were kissing while driving." I flushed crimson red because we were guilty as charged. We stammered out an apology and he left us with a warning. "I'm not going to give you a ticket, but be warned, you need to focus, focus." And with that, he abruptly left. We were mortified, not least because our mobile smooching was hardly behaviour fitting for the occupants of such a thoroughly evangelistic motor. The memory of that policeman's parting shot, "Focus," is burned into my heart all these years, actually decades later. And the need for focus has been on my mind again more recently. When we came out of that horrendous time of COVID, perhaps we realized that we had navigated an apocalyptic event. Back then, nearly 4 or 5 years ago, we stayed home, rotated cotton test buds around our nostrils, hoped for a vaccine, and buried loved ones and friends. And during that time, I know that I lost not only some freedom, but some discipline too. I abandoned my exercise routine. I binged watched Netflix and put on 20 pounds. Life and ministry continued, but my focus was certainly eroded. Following Jesus with resilience and faithfulness requires intentionality. Paul the Apostle uses athletic metaphors to portray the walk of faith. He urges the Corinthians, "Run the race to win," and he exhorts the Christians in Philippi. So, he says, "Let's keep focused. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it." That's Philippians 3:15-16 in the Message. And then the writer to the Hebrews echoes a similar call. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. We see that in Hebrews 12:2. Perhaps the primary enemy of faith, faithfulness, resilience is distraction. Rather than marching into moral madness, we just meander into a Christianity that becomes a dull habit. The seed of the Word of God is slowly suffocated by the cares of life, as Jesus taught in that famous parable of the sower. As for me, I am back these days, trying to keep my eyes focused on the track, heart on the prize, stumbling along sometimes rather than sprinting, but in the race again, asking God to equip me and help me with resilience that will cause me to be faithful. If distraction has bedeviled us, Perhaps it's time for us to realize that and make some changes. And if your car is adorned with a Christian fish or other evangelistic paraphernalia, and you suddenly feel the need to kiss someone, why not wait till you get home? I mentioned earlier that staying healthy has at times been an uphill battle for me, and for good reason, because I've had a lifelong love affair with food and certainly in the past have generally hated exercise. Earlier I was a jogger, but then every time I ran, I battled the temptation to just give up, lie down on the pavement and order a pepperoni pizza. This thought would become almost overwhelming once I'd completed a considerable distance, like 500 yards. I realized that my historical downfall had partly been caused because of negotiation. I would decide on an exercise routine, usually somewhere around New Year's Eve, but then the next morning the bedside alarm would yank me out of slumber and the negotiations would begin. I'm tired. I've got a busy day. It's cold outside. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm too old for this. The reasons for postponing were endless. I surely identified with Solomon's ancient wisdom. In Proverbs 26, loafers say it's dangerous out there, tigers are prowling the streets. We then pull the covers back over our heads. Tigers are normally in short supply in my locality, but then you never know. So finally, I decided to create what I'd like to call an anchor habit, because I just wanted to be more decisive. And it's really simple, but it takes a little thought. You carefully decide what you're going to do. You make sure it's realistic. I'm not going to determine to run 3 marathons a week. In fact, I'm not planning on running 1 marathon ever. But then you predetermine what your emergency get-out clauses will be, and only in those circumstances will you not do what you've planned to do. And then you get on with it. You do it. No discussion. Get out of your head. Get out of your bed. Negotiations are simply not allowed. Negotiation caused the fall of humanity. The first couple in Eden were given a clear directive, do not eat from that tree. The command was given to anchor them into what God wanted. And then when a chatty snake in the grass showed up, the negotiations began, and that exchange eroded their resolve, made paradise lost, with disastrous cosmic results. Satan took a similar conversational approach to Jesus when he was fresh from baptism and heading into ministry. It was then that the devil came to Jesus with some tempting offers. Come on, Jesus, you're hungry. Bake a wonder loaf from those stones. Worship me and have a throne. There's no cross needed. Prove yourself by taking a jump from the temple pinnacle. The father of lies is a slick salesman and even quoted scripture during that bargaining, that attempt at negotiation. But Jesus had no time for that chit-chat. It is written, he declared, 3 times, no negotiation. So, if we're going to be resilient, perhaps it's time to bring an end to the discussions and deliberations that can reverberate endlessly in our heads and get on with choosing well. And at the risk of sounding smug, I'm happy to report that ongoingly I'm fitter, happier, Planet's stomach has gradually been tamed, and my feet have miraculously reappeared. The anchor, I'm glad to say, is holding. Let's be decisive. My laptop was recently infested with demons. The problem might be inelegantly described as data constipation. It was running so slowly it felt like it was powered by horses plodding around in a circle. I called customer support and started chatting with a very friendly 9-year-old, or so he sounded, who is apparently a genius, or so he is described. I anticipated a lengthy conversation which would require detailed instructions as he guided me through a series of complex keystrokes, but I was wrong. Why not power down your computer and restart it? He said. Just restart it? It sounded so very simple, and I was momentarily tempted to inform the telephonic genius that he'd know a lot more once he'd navigated adolescence. But the confidence in his voice compelled me to heed his advice, and so I obediently tapped the keys, restarted, and 3 minutes later, my laptop was clothed and in its right mind. Circuits refreshed, if not born again, clutter cleared, and countless windows closed, it was now a thing of beauty. Apparently, a computer that stays powered up for too long will become fatigued by the amount of windows that are opened and will start consuming more and more memory as time goes by. I wish I'd known that. It would have saved me hours of online searching for a local techno-exorcist. What's true of machines, of course, is true of us. Sabbath was always meant as a gift from the God who designed us. Spoiled by picky legalists, the weekly breakaway was given as an opportunity to power down, shed the accumulated jumble of the week, and then breathe, play, worship, connect with friends and family. And God gave endlessly forgetful Israel a rather full annual schedule of feasts and festivals that also nudged them into rest, recommitment, and fun. After the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem. All was ready for the global mission to begin. Christ's rescuing work was accomplished, but the command was wait, power down to power up. My hope and prayer is that all of us, if we're to be resilient, that all of us will take time, space, and attention to power down, rest, and restart. And knowing focus and the enabling that comes from the one who is called our helper. Meanwhile, I'm happy to report that currently my laptop is running smoothly. So resilience, it comes from focus, decisiveness, and rhythm. Perhaps when we identify these as priorities in our lives, resilience will be a reality and not just an aspiration. And as I conclude this evening's program, let me say this to you. If you continue to follow Jesus through a season of what seems like unending pain, and your walk with him is more like a limp, not because of a broken tibia, but maybe because of a broken heart, may you know grace, peace, and fresh hope this evening and this week. Thanks for being with me. See you next time.
Lucas on Life.
Protect your home and auto by bundling them with Progressive, and you'll have a little less to worry about. But we know you'll find other things to worry about. Like that text you just got from your boss.
Hey, call me when you get a sec. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Oh, hey, call me when you get a sec. Yeah, this is bad. Oh, well, at least you protected your home and auto with Progressive, so you don't have to worry about that. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.